From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Civil citations are a way for police to avoid arresting first-time juvenile offenders. Instead, a civil citation diverts young people into community service projects or other ways to make up for a petty crime. It's been an alternative in the state of Florida for a few years now, but a new bill seeks to make it a mandatory step for all eligible first-time offenders, taking the discretion out of the hands of local police officers. We'll talk with one local group lobbying in favor of the bill and talk with a youth justice scholar about the difference between arrest and a civil citation. Plus, women's flat track roller derby is on a roll in Southwest Florida. Our local team has hundreds of loyal fans, and this weekend we'll take on the Long Island Roller Rebels. It's a tough sport that requires brawn and finesse, and it leads to a kind of empowerment that many of the roller girls didn't even expect. We'll talk with team members of the Palm City Punishers about the sport that's a little bit theater and a whole lot of heart. But first, the news. This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. We have the Red Sox, the Twins, the Everblades, and even the FGCU Eagles. But have you heard of the Palm City Punishers? They're our hometown women's flat track roller derby team. And in the second half of our show, they'll be here to tell us all about the sport and theater of derby girls. But first, the civil citation has, up to this point, been an option for police officers in Florida when dealing with a juvenile who has committed his or her first misdemeanor offense. But a bill before the Florida Senate would require police to issue a civil citation for first offenses rather than arrest if it passes this legislative session. A civil citation substitutes a juvenile arrest with an evaluation and 50 hours of appropriate community service. And according to advocates, kids who are given this kind of punishment are less likely to re-offend. Organizations like Lee Interfaith for Empowerment, or LIFE, are actively pushing this bill by lobbying in Tallahassee for its passage. William Oberdick is with us in the studio to talk about the group's efforts. Thank you for being here.
Rusty May is also here. Yeah. He's a former pastor.
Yes, and Rusty May is also here. He's with LIFE, and will walk us through the group's grassroots efforts on the local level to get local police departments to embrace the civil citation option. Thank you for coming in.
You're welcome.
We're also talking with Dr. Sandra Pavelka. She's the founding director of FGCU's Institute for Youth and Justice Studies. She can talk to the difference between juvenile arrest, civil citations, and how both impact young people. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
We are talking about the possibility of civil citations being a required first step for juveniles who commit their first misdemeanor. What are your thoughts? Give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK on Facebook. We're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we are at WGCU using the hashtag of GCL. First, Mr. Oberdick, tell me what this bill would require and how it differs from the current implementation of civil citations.
Well, this bill makes mandatory for certain enumerated violations that the officer who is confronting the child who has done one of these things give them a civil citation rather than arresting them. That's the basic thing. It also, this bill allows a civil citation for up to three times, and it allows the officer to give a civil citation for violations other than the 12 that are enumerated in the statute. And the ones that are enumerated in the statute are minor misdemeanors, things like a violation for possession of alcohol or for being in a park after dark, that kind of thing.
I have the list here. It has possession of alcoholic beverages by being under 21, battery, criminal mischief, trespassing, theft, retail and farm theft, which is different, I guess, loitering or prowling, affrays and riots, disorderly conduct relating to possession of certain amounts of cannabis or controlled substances, relating to use, possession, manufacture, delivery, transportation, advertisement, or retail sale of drug paraphernalia, or relating to resisting an officer without violence. So those are the 12 misdemeanor offenses that this bill would require a civil citation on the first offense.
Yes. And some of those names sound more frightening than they really are.
Yeah, legalese can sound pretty big.
And riots, that can be basically two kids getting into a fight and a group of other kids gathering around them. You know, that's what that falls under there. So those names cover things that actually could be very minor.
Well, that would be the name of the misdemeanor offense,
right,
if it were to be an arrest. And then this bill also expands the ability of police officers to use a civil citation in a second and third offense, but does not require it.
Does not require it, right, yes.
Okay,
yes.
So that's the difference. And what it is now is it's up to the police officer's discretion in every case, whether it's a first, second, third, whatever.
Exactly.
Okay. So that's where we stand and that's where it's going. So when somebody does get a civil citation, what happens?
Well, there are different kinds of restorative justice programs that the youth would be referred to. And by restorative justice, that's a general term that includes various kinds of things like making restitution, making apologies, getting counseling, doing community service, that kind of things. So the focus of that kind of program is to bring the community back together to heal rather than to punish.
And there's also in the bill 50 hours of community service as part of it.
Yes.
As well.
Yes, yes.
So Reverend Rusty May, this has been an option for Florida Police for a few years now. How have you seen its use implemented and what has your group done to encourage local law enforcement to choose the civil citation option?
That's a great question. So 3 years ago, our organization, as we talked about the things that kind of keep us awake at night in Lee County, dealt with the issue of civil citations. And we did some research and we discovered that in Lee County, only about 20% of youth who were eligible for a civil citation were actually given a civil citation. So we continued to do research. We looked at other counties in the state. Best practices were about 90% of the youth who commit these offenses get a civil citation rather than being arrested. And so we invited to our Nehemiah Action, which is what we call our annual event, where we gather the people in the community who have the power and authority to make a change where there's a systemic injustice. We ask the Sheriff's Department, we ask the Fort Myers Police Department to commit to using civil citations more often. And we discovered that civil citations were not used at all in Cape Coral. And there was actually a disincentive for the police officer to issue a civil citation because promotions were based on points and you got points for an arrest, but you didn't get points for a civil citation. So we brought our concerns to the leaders of the police departments in the area and the sheriff's department. We got various levels of commitment. But in the first year after we raised this issue, the average number of civil citations went up to about 40% rather than 20%, which is great, but it's still not good enough. And if you look at the statistics from calendar year 2016, it was, again, still just down about 40% were getting civil citations. So our group joined with other faith-based criminal – or faith-based justice ministry organizations around the state to get the state to change the law and to mandate that the officer give a civil citation in these 12 instances.
So that – and that, and you'd like to see that then in 100% of the cases rather than 40%.
Correct. And part of the problem of the issue is before Cape Coral started issuing civil citations after we asked them to do that, before they started doing that, a youth who committed a crime on the Cape Coral side of the river was arrested. That same youth, if that youth committed that same crime on the Fort Myers side of the river, might have gotten a civil citation. So it's unequal justice. And it's not just unequal justice in the case of Cape Coral and Fort Myers before we got them to increase use of civil citations. But around the state, there's a dramatic difference from county to county in terms of how many youth get civil citations. So it's a matter of equal justice before the law. We want all youth to be able to get a civil citation instead of arrest.
I mean, it's kind of a new concept though, the civil citation. It didn't come around until like 2011, I guess, 2011, 12. I don't know exactly the day. But could that have been kind of a learning curve where police officers and departments were figuring out exactly how to implement this? I mean, obviously, Cape Coral is an outlier in this. But when you look at the statistics, it seems like it went from, you know, 19% to 25% to 35%, some up to 60, some 70% in our listening area. So it's kind of gradually over the course of years becoming used a little bit more. Do you think that perhaps it just took getting used to and training and to implement this?
Right. I think it is a new idea, and it took a while for that to grab hold, and it is certainly an educational thing. But once Cape Coral had all of their police officers trained in civil citations, the use jumped dramatically. So I think last year they were at like 40%. So they went from zero to 40.
Yeah.
And that's pretty good.
So I want to talk to Sandra Pavelka because, speaking of education, I need to be educated on what happens, because you've worked with juvenile justice a lot. And how is the impact of an arrest versus a civil citation on a juvenile? Like, for example, if somebody stole a $10 bracelet, what happens to them if they get arrested? But then what happens to them if they have a civil citation?
Well, civil citation is similar to a parking ticket. So when you are – perhaps we're speeding down the road to get here today, the law enforcement officer has the discretion to either give you, let you go, give you a talking to, or give you a ticket. And so in this case, a civil citation is a more informal way of dealing with the situation. And if the child was arrested, they would go through the formal juvenile court process. Now, given the fact that prevention intervention is key, we all know that. And civil citation at this point is working. Granted, the percentages are low, but we've looked at the last 5 years of implementation as a learning curve. And the Juvenile Justice Advisory Board, which I chair here in the circuit, we discuss it at every meeting and the increased implementation through law enforcement. But it is important for law enforcement to continue having its discretion. We know that there's aggravating and mitigating circumstances when it comes to an arrest. And what one child does in Cape Coral, even though it's the same offense, may be different from what that child's doing in Fort Myers. So it is really key for law enforcement to continue to have its discretion. Under this bill, it would take that discretion away.
But what I'm asking is more about what happens if you get arrested for stealing
Correct.
A little bracelet and you go into the juvenile justice system because you got arrested.
Right.
Do you have things like family counseling? Do you have community service? Do you have any of the other?
Well, if the case actually goes to the state attorney's office, it will more than likely, if that's a first-time offense, be diverted. We already have diversion programs in place all across the state, actually. We have juvenile arbitration. We have neighborhood accountability boards. We have teen courts. And those are all funded. Those particular instances, the child will probably have some type of an assessment in place at the Juvenile Assessment Center, and we'll find out what the needs are for those individual youth. So to answer your question, yeah, there is a difference, but they are still receiving some type of an assessment, and they are receiving a diversion program where they're not necessarily going to court in about a little over 30% of the cases.
Okay, so here's a question I want to direct to you, Mr. Oberdick. If there is something in the juvenile justice system, if somebody's arrested where they're going to be doing, the kind of things that are required from a civil citation, does the civil citation set that up in a separately funded kind of a pathway, or is that something that goes through the juvenile justice? I'm curious, like, we already have something that's being paid for right now with the juvenile justice division, correct? And that's what happens when somebody's arrested. If they're not arrested, they're going to civil citation. There are similar programs. Are they going to be kind of reinventing the wheel there or refunding something and duplicating?
Well, the juvenile justice system basically oversees these. But many of these programs are actually staffed by volunteers. People who volunteer to come in and be on like community boards and that kind of thing to be part of this process.
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of – and sometimes it's not necessarily with the civil citation. It's more of a community thing, and it can be with a different agency as opposed to with the Juvenile Justice Center.
Well, the Juvenile Justice Center – oversees these kinds of things,
okay.
But the actual place where the child goes
to do the community service. Yes.
Well, the community service can be at a nonprofit, for example. But the board that decides what's going to happen to the child, that is often just staffed by volunteers.
there still has to be case management. And I think that's one of the issues that we're seeing with law enforcement in terms of some of their issues is that they need the staffing to oversee these civil citations, somebody to actually supervise these youth as the civil citations are being written. There has to be someone who's managing these cases.
So, yeah, and the bill does call for reportage. It has to be within 10 days. They have to report and all that kind of stuff, but it has to be overseen. We are talking about civil citations and the possibility of civil citations being required for first-time misdemeanor offenses by minors. We're with representatives of a group that's lobbying for the bill's passage, Reverend Rusty May and William Oberdick from Lee Interfaith for Empowerment. We're also talking with Dr. Sandra Pavelka. She's the founding director of FGCU's Institute for Youth and Justice Studies. What do you think? Give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we are at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So, Reverend May, essentially this is a continuation of a statewide trend that's been slowly gaining momentum with law enforcement. And as we talked about earlier, it seems like in different places, you feel like it's being applied in different varying levels. So you see one county with 20% implementation and then another county with 70%. And what you're looking for is an equivalence of that.
Correct.
Through the state law.
So in Pinellas County, we know it's over 90% of the time that the youth receive civil citation. And the sheriff from that county, ironically, is speaking out against the civil citation bill, again, saying that there needs to be discretion. And while we certainly understand that if there is direct threat to the public, that maybe the police officer needs to arrest the child in that situation, discretion doesn't necessarily work for the best of the youth. I mean, we arrested nearly over 9,000 youth last year, some of them for things as simple as stealing a $3 piece of costume jewelry. We have a story of a youth who was taking a shortcut on his way home from school and walked through an orchard and got arrested.
Fear would be, though, that there is somebody who is arrested after being involved in a school fight and he was kind of the instigator or whatever, but because it falls under the misdemeanor of riot, then he would just get a civil citation.
But again, there can't be bodily harm that raises to the level above that misdemeanor. So again, we're still talking about very minor offenses for which the civil citation would be mandatory.
And there's also a part of the bill which provides law enforcement the option to arrest, but they are then required to submit written documentation as to why the arrest was warranted. Is there any review of those written statements that they decided to do an arrest instead of a civil citation? They do have a little loophole in that bill.
I don't know the answer to your question. I'm sorry.
Okay. So the juvenile is also given the option to take arrest over participation in civil citation. To some, it kind of sounds like you're giving a lot of power to a kid that got in trouble. What would you say to people who don't feel maybe that a juvenile should be able to decide, oh, I'd rather just be arrested or I'd do my 50 hours? I mean, when they're the ones that took the $3 bracelet.
Right. And it's my understanding also that the parent has to agree to the civil citation. So it's not just the child who's making the only decision, but the child does have the opportunity to say, you know, I really don't want to do the 50 hours of community service. I'll take my chances with the judge.
That's how it is currently under law as it is now. So that wouldn't change. It's all voluntary. So the child can actually elect to go through civil citation or be arrested.
I think the child actually has the option also after a decision is made as to, okay, you're going to have to do 50 hours of community service and this and that. You're going to have to go through a urine analysis check. The child can say, I don't want to do that. So after he's found out what it is that this path will involve, he can say, no, I don't want to do that.
So I want to take a quick look at the numbers. Lee County went from 14% of eligible juveniles receiving a civil citation in 2012 to 35% in 2015. Now, the numbers, the way they do it on this website, to which we have a link on WGCUnews.org if you want to check out your municipality or your local police department, it has the records back to 2011, 2012, but they do it with fiscal year, so it goes from July to the following July. So it's kind of hard to nail down, you know, calendar year. But the way it goes is Lee Lee County went from 14% of eligible juveniles in 2012 to 35%. The Fort Myers Police Departments went from 38% in 2012 to 50% in 2015. And as you mentioned before, the most staggering was Cape Coral, which went from 0% who could have avoided arrest by being given civil citation in 2012 and 2013 to 38% in 2016. So, Reverend May and Mr. Oberdick, you're looking to do – you want that number to be up to 100% in all counties and all police departments, correct?
For those first-time minor misdemeanors.
And are there any cases where you think that a civil citation might be inappropriate for a young person?
Well, as Pastor May said, if there's a circumstance where the public safety is really at issue, that would be a circumstance where, you know, a different alternative would be appropriate.
And then there is that segment of the bill where the police do have that level of discretion.
And the bill, Julie, also says that if the youth has an arrest in their past, that they couldn't get a civil citation.
Oh, so once they've been arrested once mm-hmm. and they didn't choose civil citation the next time up.
Well, that was an arrest. That may not have been for a misdemeanor. That might have been for a felony. But if they have an arrest record, then they can't be given the civil citation.
Yeah. We have a phone call coming in. We have Chris calling in from Fort Myers. Chris, what would you like to say?
Hi. I just wanted to say that I am also a member of the Life Group, and I have experience as a special ed teacher. I taught in the classroom for 20 years. This was before civil citations. So I had students who were arrested. I taught middle school, so they were between 11 and 15. And I can tell you that it changes them. Once they are arrested, they're hauled off in front of their friends and their family in handcuffs. And, you know, some of the kids are tough, but some of the kids are just little kids. And so they're being, you know, handcuffed, walked out to the police car, put in the back seat, and they are terrified. Some of them are just sobbing. I also worked at the jail for 2 years. So I saw them actually come into the jail, and they were crying so hard, and they were so frightened that some of them soiled themselves, and the police were being so kind. And the children come into the jail. They're kept completely separate from the adults. They go into an intake area where they talk to a counselor, and they're also booked. And once they're booked, they have a record. And they say that, well, juvenile records don't show up in the future. Yeah, they do, depending on who runs that background check.
And there's different levels of background checks. But this kind of speaks to so thank you for your comment. I really appreciate it. And Dr. Pavelka, this is something that you've worked with within the school system where there are a lot of instances in which arrest has been avoided. Can you tell me a little bit about the projects that you've been working on with that?
Well, I might add the school system is actually and law enforcement within the schools and school resource officers are implementing and utilizing civil citations more and more every day. We currently are implementing restorative strategies in schools as a means looking at alternatives to suspensions. That's a growing trend in not only in Lee County, in Charlotte County, Sarasota County, and across the country. So we are implementing restorative strategies to really help deal with children and some of their issues that they're dealing with. When they're acting out, we know that it's not just – they're not just acting out for no reason. There's usually something going on. Something's going on at home. Maybe they're getting bullied. Maybe there's some abuse, alcohol, drugs. So these are some strategies that we're implementing to assist the youth. And certainly they need this now more than ever.
And and if they're taking care of things at the school level and it doesn't ever reach law enforcement, that could be having an impact on some of these percentages that we're seeing coming out of Fort Myers Police Department, some of the different departments.
Absolutely.
That are reporting because they never put them in the category of eligible for arrest and then given a civil citation. So there may be more civil citations than we know of because they're not being tracked at the schools so much or tracked by law enforcement at schools.
Correct.
Okay. So that's kind of an interesting angle on the statistics. Statistics are always little buggers, aren't they? We have another phone call from Victor in Punta Gorda. Victor, what would you like to say?
Just a real quick question. Statistically, what's being shown as to what the percentage is as far as the citations being issued out to Caucasian, African-American, or Latino?
Okay. I don't think that the statistics that are on that website are broken down in a race way, are they?
I think you can get them broken down that way. I did not do that prior to the show, but I believe if you there's a menu where you could look at that.
Oh, yeah, you can. There's a drop-down menu on that. I didn't look at the different races, but you can find a link to the tracking of the civil citations on our website at wgcunews.org, and that can tell you a little bit more about all the different breakdowns. You can get Punta Gorda Police Department. You can get Northport. There is a way to look that up.
When we were before one of the House committees, one of the representatives, I believe he was from the Miami area, raised that very kind of a question that disproportionately he believes that minorities do not get civil citations as often as Caucasian kids. The sheriff who was there who was speaking didn't deny that. And so there may be some validity to that.
Yeah, that would be something to look at, though, on the website with the actual hard stats. So I wanted to ask another question, and this is something that my father would have asked. if a kid is seeing that they're not going to get arrested and they're going to get a civil citation, is this a possible way for kids to shrug off these crimes because they know that they really won't be facing a serious arrest? Is there any psychology behind that or any...
I'm really not sure. That might be a possibility. But, you know, oftentimes these children are out there who are committing crimes, just like with anything. It's probably not the first time. They've been doing acting out for a while. So,
but, I mean, does the threat of arrest act as a deterrent for anybody?
It may. And you know, certainly if a civil citation may as well. It may be a deterrent just to have law enforcement communicate and have some type of relationship with the kid and say, look, don't do it again. And this is a way of maybe preventing and intervening at that time and saying, okay, well, we may not see that child come back after that quote-unquote threat.
Well, let me just add this. I was a federal prosecutor in my other life. And people who do things don't think they're going to get caught. If they thought they were going to get caught, they wouldn't do them.
Especially kids. Especially kids. They just really think they can get away with anything. they try to until they get caught.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I'm going to go ahead and leave it there. We're looking right now at the bill. There's a Senate bill and a House bill. The Senate bill is still pretty much intact from how it went in, which is what we've been describing. The House bill has been amended, correct? Mm-hmm. And so do you know where the things stand right now?
Okay. The substitute bill is an expungement of the record bill, and it's a post-arrest diversion program with expungement of the record rather than a pre-arrest civil citation diversion program. Where it stands is the Senate bill has gone through two of the three committees it needs to go through. The House bill was amended before it went to the first committee, and the first committee adopted it unanimously. So it still has two committees in the House that it has to go through. We're imagining that if in both chambers the bill is adopted as it currently reads, that they would have to go through some reconciliation process so that both chambers are voting on the same bill.
Because at this point they're pretty different.
Right. So yeah. It would be our hope that as it goes through the reconciliation process that it would tilt more back toward the Senate bill and its language of mandatory civil citations rather than the House side where it's an expungement of the record.
All right. Well, it's interesting to know what's working through the Senate and the House in our state legislature, because I don't think a lot of people even knew that this was up for consideration. So I want to thank you for coming in and talking with us, Reverend Rusty May with Lee Interfaith for Empowerment, or LIFE as it's known. Also, William Oberdick with LIFE, who's been lobbying up in Tallahassee. I also want to thank Dr. Sandra Pavelka, the founding director of FGCU's Institute for Youth and Justice Studies. Thanks for coming in and shedding a little light on this bill for us. Coming up, do you know the difference between a jammer, a blocker, and a pivot? Would you know how to break through a pack and become lead jammer? We're looking for a look at the world of roller derby in Southwest Florida with the Fort Myer Derby Girls and their first home game of the season happening this Sunday. That's coming up in just a few minutes next on Gulf Coast Live.